Looks like we're going to have a beautiful day out there today. And some nice temperatures. And I'm looking forward to it. And I've been done with winter a long time. And, so I've been looking forward to these nicer temperatures. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, dear God, as we approach this time of the service, Lord. And we're asking, God, that you'll come, Father, anoint us, Lord, to bring the word, Lord, and to make it simple and understanding, Lord, and be a help and strengthening to the people, dear God, to help us to grow, Lord, into the stature, Lord, of the image, Lord, which you have of us to be in. We ask, God, you draw us closer to you, Father. Prepare us, Lord, for our catching away out of here. We ask, God, that you to bless each and every one today, Father. You know in their needs, I pray, Lord, that you'll guide us, Lord, along each and every pathway, Lord, to minister to those needs this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. And I want to begin reading at verse 10, and we're still going to be speaking on the election of God. The election of God is, it's not actually a hard thing to understand, but there are many people that, some folks that kind of make it hard because they have trouble with seeing that how can everybody have a chance when they read this scripture. And we're trusting the Lord to just open up the things to us this morning. Amen. And as we go, continue along in this study, in this series. Verse 10, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that sheweth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed him say to, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Amen. You may be seated. Now we've, in our studies over the past couple of months, while we've ministered a lot on along these lines, and we brought up Jacob and Esau and the whole story behind those two boys, and we brought up that it didn't matter, they both came from the same parents, as the scripture said, but one of them was going to have a desire to serve God and a desire after the birthright. and the other one wasn't. And God being God, he knew what each boy would be like. He knew what each boy would choose. And the reason that Jacob chose what he did was because of who he was. I'm a firm believer in nature over nurture. You can nurture something all you want, but the nature that's in it's eventually going to come out. To prove this, Cain was raised by the same parents that Abel was. And Adam and Eve, and we'll get more into this because you realize that as we get more into that, maybe next Sunday, we'll actually make a statement and tell you that Adam adopted Cain. And Cain was an adopted child of Adam. And Adam called his wife, the woman, he called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. But it never did say that Adam was the father of all living. And we'll get into the whole thing about serpent seed and all this and how that it will help explain election and so forth. But Cain, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, I believe it's in the book of Jude, it says he was of that evil one or that wicked one. And that was the serpent who Satan came into and beguiled Eve with. And so Cain's father was the serpent. So it wasn't Adam. So no matter how much Adam nurtured Cain, the nature that was in Cain eventually came out. And, you know, Jesus said to the priests and the Pharisees and so on that were coming against him, he said, your fathers were murderers from the beginning. And your father was a murderer from the beginning. And realizing that he was speaking about Satan and also through the working in Cain and how Cain murdered his brother. Now, Cain didn't get that from Adam. Cain didn't get that from none of the nurturing that Adam gave him. That was in Cain's nature. Cain, what came out of Cain was who he was. You know, when I was, we'll mention this from last Sunday. You were a gene in your father, or even in your great-grandfather, before you ever came into being in this life. And you were a gene in your father, and until he came into holy wedlock and through the conception, brought you into image of himself where he could fellowship with you. And so when I was born into this life, some might have said, well, he favors this one here, he favors that one in his looks. And sometimes babies are born and say, well, they're a mixture, you know. And other times they say, well, they look just like their daddy. But they just act like a baby because that's what they are. And as they grow older, they do normal things that all kids do. And as they're growing up. But there begins to be things as they get older become more and more out in them. And it's not that they're learning it from their parents. There are a lot of learned behaviors. But if there are some things that you do that you don't learn, they just come out because of who you are. And, I was a Browning when I was born. And so I've been a Browning 60 years. But as I got older, there were certain things that came out, and it wasn't that I picked them up by learning or that I wanted to do them. They just, certain things happen, and then people begin to say, he reminds me more and more of his dad. And I seen his dad stand just like that, and I seen the same look on his dad's face. And you know what it was? It's the nature that's coming out. And, I was born a Browning, so that's what's going to come out of me. I'm going to be a Browning. And, but we're also born of a heavenly father. And the nature
that we were to have in God. It was already in you. It just needed to come to life. And when it came to life, then you are going to begin to act more and more like your Heavenly Father. And when you first started walking in this Christian walk, you didn't act as much like your Father God as you might do today. But as you begin to grow in the knowledge of the Word and begin to grow in the things of the Lord, then as time passes and you become more and more one with the Scripture than the Word of God, then it begins where things naturally begin to come out in you. It's not that you're sitting there thinking this is the way I should react or this is the way I should do, but it begins to come out more and more naturally because that's what you are. You know, you don't have to teach a sheep how to bear wool. It bears wool because it's a sheep. That's what it is, and that's what's going to come out of it. And Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said, you always were a sheep. You weren't born a pig or a dog and then became a sheep, because that's against all nature. That's against the Word of God. Because the Word of God said every seed shall bring forth of its kind. And so you might have been in a pond lily. Why, it can be in the most dirtiest, muckiest, muddy pond there is. But when the sun filters down through all that muck and mire and strikes that seed, why, that pond lily is going to start to grow until eventually it comes up out of all that muck and mire and comes into the light of the sunshine. And that was the same way with you. And God... it doesn't matter to God what life you came from. That wasn't you anyway. That was just this life in this age, in this time, in this world. That was just the pond you came out of. And God didn't look and say, well, I can't call anybody that's a drug addict. I can't call anybody that's a drunkard. I can't call any gamblers. No, God called from all walks of life. And Paul tells us this in the New Testament when he begins to name off many of these things that we look at being so defiling. And he says, such were some of you, but he saved you. And he saved you because of redemption. Redemption means to buy back something that already belonged to him. Like when you take something down to the pawn shop and you pawn it off for some cash, you can go back down there and take some cash back down there and get what belonged to you back. That's redeeming it. That's buying it back. That's not making a brand new purchase. That was something that already belonged to you. Amen. Pardon me. So if you've got eternal life now, you always had eternal life. We brought out last Sunday about Paul, how Paul, the Bible says, while he was yet breathing out threatenings against the church, that God came and appeared to him, Jesus came and appeared to him in a light, in a pillar of fire, a light, and spoke to him. And it halted him in his tracks and changed him. What was it? Paul always was a seed of God. He just had to wait for that light to strike him. And he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Paul never had a doubt about Jesus after that. Paul, friends, never met Jesus face to face personally as, say, like Peter or James or John, who were his disciples who he called out and were there with him while he walked on the face of this earth. Jesus appeared to him in a light. Paul says, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to learn of these things. I received them of the Lord. Jesus told me personally. Amen. So you are an attribute of God, and God had so predestinated you to come to being be manifest in this day, in this age. He predestinated you for this age. Now, there's been seven ages that have happened through the Bible, or the New Testament, rather. And in those seven ages, there were seven church ages, you know, Paul being the messenger to the first age. Why, then there were ages during the dark ages, during the dark times, when they put the Christians to death and put them in the arenas and had lions rip them apart and all this. But God didn't ordain for you to be in that time. He ordained for you to be in this time, in this day, in this age. And this is the worst one of them all. You say, worse than the age of them being tore apart by lions? Yeah. They said, are you going to recant? They said, no. They said, we're loosing a line. And bam, it was over. And they were in heaven. But now, the devil stays after you day in and day out. He's hot on your trail like an old coon dog. He stays right on you constantly. And you've got to battle him constantly. It ain't just one fight, bam, and it's over. It's day in and day out, night after night, time after time. It's an ongoing battle. And Satan shows the battleground of your mind. And that's where he comes to try to attack you. And if he can't keep you from something, he'll try to push you beyond it. He always tries to get you off of the mark. Hallelujah. Now, we always were sons and daughters of God. We just had to come to a point to where we recognized it. You didn't come to church and get saved and all of a sudden say, well, now I'm a son of God. No, you always were a son of God. You might have been acting like the devil. You might have been acting like a son of the devil. You might have been acting like a daughter of the devil. But you were always a son and daughter of God. You just need to come to the realization of who you were. It's the same. It's the natural types, the spiritual. You always were a son of God or daughter of God. You just needed to be born again. You needed a new birth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, let me just stop on that. All that he foreknew, he knew it before the foundation of the world. Then he could predestinate, which means predetermine their destined, your destination. And to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, whom Jesus Christ could be then the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So you didn't come because you were calling, you come because he called you. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. You heard his voice, like we told that story about the little eaglet that was hatched out in the chicken yard. And when the mother eagle began flying over screaming one day, there was something that he recognized in that scream. It brought the same scream out in him. You imagine all those chickens running as scared as could be when they realized, this is an eagle in the pen with us. He eats us for breakfast.
Hallelujah.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, verse 30, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, there's a lot of times you'll find people trying to justify themselves. And by that I mean they'll give a reason for why they've done such and such a thing. Not just a reason, but you should accept that I've done this and that I'm going to do it again because of this reason. And they're trying to justify themselves. But here God justifies you. And how he justifies you is you never done it in the first place. Because the real you that was on the inside hadn't come to light yet. And so it wasn't the one. This flesh committed those sins. This flesh did those things. But that real you, that soul, that gene of God, it came to life and then it begins to manifest what it is. So justified means just as if you never done it in the first place. And them he also glorified, that means perfected. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You need to say that throughout your day and weeks that you face. When things come against you, well, if God be for me, it don't matter who's against me. Because God's for me. Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It means who's gonna blame anything on God's elect? They can't, because Jesus won't receive it. He's our advocate to the Father. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He goes to bat for you. He's your defense attorney. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? No, none of these things can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in the message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham begins to talk about, he says, in the back part of God's mind. And that's really something to think about now. Because when you realize sometimes there's things that you think of that's on your mind constantly, that, but then you've got things that we would say that are in the back part of your mind. They're there and you think on them, and it may not be every minute of the day that you think on them, but they're there. And eventually, like as if you know, years ago when we lived in Ohio, and my wife and I, we had a dream. And we wanted to buy a place, a house, and we wanted to live in the woods, and we kind of wanted to live out a little bit. And we, you know, had certain places that we thought of that were up there in that area where we lived that were a little bit more out. And some of you that are familiar with that area would maybe know some of these places I would mention to you, like Berlin, Ohio, and places like that. And we thought of these places, and because they were a little more remote, and we thought about living in the woods. But we never, it was like in the back part of my mind. It wasn't in my day-to-day life. It was just something that was a thought that I had. And then I just, when we moved down here, why we always had a desire to own our own place, to finally purchase our own house. We had never owned our own place. And so, you know, we just put it in God's hands. And we went out and we picked, we wanted to buy a double wide. So we went out and we picked out one first. We didn't have no property to put it on, but we picked out our house first. And then I had to, while they were approving us for a loan on that, why I had to find a place to put it. So I went to praying about property. And there was this little old paper that used to come out for free around here in Dixon. I don't remember the name of it now, but they used to get it for free, you know. And it would come out, and it would have a lot of ads in it, was mainly what it was. It maybe have a story or two, but it wasn't a newspaper. But it would have a lot of ads, was mostly what it was. And in there was a little old ad about some property. And so I called the number and talked to the man that had the property, and he told me where it was located at. And so I got in my van, and me and I think some of my kids are with me, maybe. I don't remember. But anyway, I drove out there, you know, and I couldn't tell the – I found all the tracks – but I couldn't tell where the boundaries of where one started and another one began and then another one ended and all that. I didn't know. So I just drove down to where I found where the end marker was, where there wasn't no property beyond that. And I stopped on the road and I walked up on the property. I didn't know one track from another because I hadn't saw the plans yet. But I just walked up through the woods, walked up on the hill and up in the middle of them, called Mina on the phone and said, "I'm standing on our property. I done claimed it." And I said, "You ain't gonna believe this. I'm standing in the middle of the woods and I got a strong phone signal. Something you don't get just everywhere." And so it was in the back part of my mind, and then eventually it materialized. And now, you know, we've looked at an aerial shot from a satellite of where we live. And I'm telling you, friends, if we ever doubted we lived in the middle of the woods, when you see that aerial shot from a satellite, you realize we live in the middle of the woods. And we're happy there. So God, in the back part of his mind, he had thoughts of people that were going to come into being. And he had a given age for each one. And he knew what color their hair would be, what color their eyes would be, who would be their mommy and daddy, who would be their great-grandparents, and on down through, he knew their lineage, what it would be naturally. But he also knew that they came from him because they were in his mind. They were thoughts of God. Every word was first a thought of God, and then it became expressed. Then it became a word expressed. And you were a thought of God. Then you became later expressed into this life. And God ordained for you to be in this life and be the type of person that you are. Now, there are a lot of things about us that have to change. The Bible says that he would give us a new spirit. And Brother Branham said, that's because with the old one, you couldn't even get along with yourself. So there's a lot of things that's got to change. As you give your life to God, then those things of the natural that used to guide you, that natural lineage from your father and mother that used to guide you, those things begin to be more and more cut off by the things spiritually that guide you of your Father God. Let me make this even more clear. There are strains that sometimes run in families. Spirits will run in families. And, people will say, "Well, his granddad was a drunkard, so I ain't surprised that he drinks." But eventually, something strikes that seed that's on the inside, and it changes that individual from a drunk to a a sober man in the Lord. Takes the desire of that away from him. He doesn't desire it anymore. Before there was something in him that was feeding on that stuff. But now there's a desire in him to feed on the word of God.
That's right. The Spirit.
Turn with me to Jude 1 and 4. Book of Jude's right before the book of Revelations, and it's only one chapter. So it's not a long book. And we want to read a verse of scripture here, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these men, they already were this. It just later their lives begin to act out the seed that was in them. So God could before ordain them to a condemnation because he knew they didn't belong to him. Now, Cain wasn't in God's mind. God had no desire for Cain to be brought into this world. But Cain was brought into this world. And I know I'm saying some things that might be a little confusing today, but I believe there'll be more explained next Sunday. But Cain, as the Bible says, was of that wicked one. And so Cain acted out who he was. He didn't belong to God. Never did. Now, but even though Cain had a natural desire to worship God, Cain wanted to worship God. But you see, as you read through the story of Cain and Abel, Cain wanted God to receive it on his terms. He wanted God to receive it the way he gave it. And God said, that's not the way that I want it. And Cain said, well, tough. I'll kill the only person that's given it to you the way you want it, and you have to take it the way I give it. A lot of folks are like that today. They don't want to hear the word of God. Oh, they tell you they want to hear the word of God. But when the word of God begins to come down and talk about living a life that's holy and a holiness life and how to act and how to dress and how to do different things, then they don't want to hear that, see, because their church don't teach such stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Your church ain't what gets you into heaven. God don't judge us by a church. He judges us by his word. That way it's fair. He judges everybody by the same thing. It don't matter what church you belong to. It don't matter what name it goes under. You're going to be judged by the word of God. And you think about all the different churches that we have throughout the world today. And so many of them, one can't agree with the other one. Well, if they all belong to God, why in the world can't they find something to agree upon?
That's right.
But the Bible says there would be men that would worship him in vain. He actually accused the priests and scribes of that day of worshiping God in vain because they taught their traditions of man rather than the word of God. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now this will go right hand in hand with the text that we read in Romans 9 back at the beginning of the service. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God's not willing that anybody would perish. He's willing that all will come to repentance. But being that he's God, he knows who will come to repentance and who will not. But he's long-suffering with it. He puts up with a lot. He put up with a lot out of me. He put up with a lot out of you. We ought to be able to put up with one another. That wasn't in my notes. That's free. Now, go back to Romans 9, verse 22. Romans 9, verse 22. This is referring back to our text now, the scripture we read at the beginning. What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering? There we find it again. He's enduring with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called. So, for God to be fair, he's got to be long-suffering with everybody. Not just you, and not just his own, but everybody. In order for this scripture that he's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance, in order for that scripture to be true, then he must be long-suffering with everybody. That's why you see evil and wicked people and you wonder, why did God just let them go and go and go and go and go and go? They each had their opportunity. They made their choices. Now, Brother Branham says in the message of Job, preached in Phoenix in 1955, he said, did you know the plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed? Yes. Yes, sir. The Bible says the Lamb of God was slain, prefiguratively now, before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible says. So before the world ever began, God had a plan of redemption in mind. It wasn't up in the air, so to speak. God just ain't winging stuff. A lot of people don't, there are some people that don't make any plans. They just wing everything. That ain't God. God makes plans. And he had a plan of redemption. And think of that, God being foreseen now, then he was able to make a way for redemption for man to be able to come back to him before the world ever began. Turn with me to John chapter 17, verse 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament. So we're in John chapter 17. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now this is a prayer. The only gospel that caught this prayer of Jesus was John. And he's praying to the Father, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, talking about them that belong to him, hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, how did God love his son? Let's go on and find out. Father, I will that they also whom thou given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So if he loved his son before the foundation of the world, and he loved you the same way he loved his son, then he loved you before the foundation of the world. That way, see, he can love you before you've done anything. That way it brings the scripture into more light, what we read in Romans 9, then before Jacob and Esau, before either boy was born, he could say, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Because he knew what they would be. He knew what they would do. And you came to God because of who you are. You belong to him. God knew what you would choose because he knew you belonged to him. He knew every thought that came out of his mind and that was going to come into being. And he could then, that's how he knew what you do, because you belong to him. Amen. It's just like, you know, somebody say, to my mother something about me and something I'd done, and she said, but that wouldn't surprise me a bit. Sounds just like his dad. And I've got some of my own just the same way. The Fontaines sing this song, looking more like your father every day. We're looking more like him every day, aren't we? Amen. In our lives, in our daily walk, things begin to change. And friends, people around you are going to begin to realize there's some changes. Turn me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Now, as we've been saying, you believe God because of who you are. Now, I want you to see this in the scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 13, and we want to read verses 46 and 48. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you. Now they're talking to the Jews. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, this was an announcement they were making. We're turning now from preaching to the Jews. We're turning to the Gentiles. Which the Bible says that there would be a people who he didn't call his people that would become his people. And that was speaking of us. Now look down at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So why did they believe? Because they were ordained to eternal life. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God before ordained that you would come to this truth. He before ordained that you would walk in this truth. In this time. Don't ever let the Satan tell you, you ain't going to make it. You can't help but make it because that's who you are. Satan tells you, oh, you ain't going to make the rapture. How could you miss it? You are a son and daughter of God. You belong to God. You came from God. Where are you going to go? Back to God. Besides, it ain't left in our power anyway. He said that he was going to present to himself a glorious church. So it ain't in your hands anyway, or my hands. It's in God's hands. And he said that the good work that he started in you, that he was going to finish it. That's in the Bible too. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talks about one time there was a man came to him and said, Brother Branham, I don't care what you say. I don't believe it. Brother Branham said, well, it wasn't for you. It wasn't given to unbelievers. It was only for believers. It was only given to them that believe. He said, it's not for unbelievers. They perish. I believe that men are ordained to eternal life, and some are ordained to condemnation according to God's word. The Bible said men of old were predestinated to this condemnation, turning the grace of God into lavishness. That's right. And God's not willing that any should perish now, but to be God, he knowed the very beginning who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. If he didn't, he wasn't God. So therefore, if you will read Romans 8 and 9, you'll find out. He said, I hate Esau and love Jacob before either boy was ever born from his mother's womb correctly, for he's God. He knows all things. So how can you make an unbeliever a believer when God knew in the beginning he was an unbeliever?
That's right.
I don't care what you do. You can't not make an unbeliever into a believer. That's also why the Bible says to you that are going to be married, don't be unequally yoked. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a believer. I love the Lord, but I like this person out here, you know, and I know they don't serve God, and I know they don't live for the Lord, they don't go to church and all this, but I really find them attractive to me, and well, I'll just change them. No. If they're going to change, let them change first. You ain't the one could change him anyway. Only God can change a person. And God can't change him if it ain't in him to begin with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I said earlier, you know, I've been a Browning for 60 years. I was born a Browning. That's how I became a Browning. I didn't have to join up. I didn't have to sign a paper. I didn't have to take a pledge. I didn't have to join a group. I was born a Browning because my daddy was a Browning. Some of my grandkids wondered how Charlotte and Carrie, how in the world were they Brownings? And their mama said, because their daddy is a Browning. I was born a Browning. I've been a Browning 60 years. I was ordained to be a Browning. Just as I was ordained to be a Christian. Just as I was ordained spiritually to be a son of God. I couldn't be anything else because that's who my daddy was going to be.
Amen.
God, the Father.
Amen.
And so by election, God ordained me and you and then called us by his grace.
Yes.
Those, look, friends, as I read there earlier in Acts 13, it said, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As I've read that, then you realize those that are ordained to life, they'll see it and they'll walk in it. Those that are not ordained to eternal life, no matter how much you try to explain it to them, they ain't going to see it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. What time is it getting to be? Oh, we're going to have to step up our preaching here if we're going to get this in. And I'd like to get this in so I can go on next Sunday. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 and 48. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, do you understand that verse? The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. Now, he's talking to the fishermen, and he's breaking this down for them by talking in language they can understand. They know about casting out nets and fishing and gathering in fish and all that. And he says, and when you gather it in, why, you gather in of every kind, but you're only fishing for one thing, fish. Which, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So they cast the net out. And when they cast it out, why, they will catch some fish in this net. This is a gospel net now. This is the way it is. By preaching the word of God, a net is cast out. And when you gather that net in, you're going to pull in some fish, but there's also going to be some snakes and some salamanders and some turtles and other things. And they can't turn into fish because they're not fish to begin with. And the fish can't be anything but fish because that's what they are and always have been. And so when they gathered in, why, they're gathering in fish. So they start discarding everything that ain't fish. They throw the turtles back and the snakes back and the different things they're not fish for, they throw it back. And every once in a while they get a boot in there and every once in a while they'll get some other kind of trash in there. And all that just gets cast back away. And the gospel net, when it's cast out, friends, look, you don't got to worry about throwing away the bad. Whatever the bad is, they'll crawl away anyhow.
That's right.
Paul says they went out from us because they weren't one of us. But now you can't go out to the water and say, now all you ordained fish jump over into this boat. Nope, you got to cast the net. That's the way it is with gospel preaching. You can't just go out and say, now everybody that's ordained to life, come on up here. No, you got to cast the net out. And then after you cast the net out and pull it in, sometimes you pull in snakes and vipers and all kinds of other things and fish with them. Howbeit, some of them were fish because they were ordained to eternal life. And then as you continue to preach the word, why, all those that they wasn't meant for, well, they'll leave anyow. They'll get offended. That's in the Bible too. Jesus gives the parable about the sowing of the seed into different ground. And there's some that grew up, but then they become offended at something that was said and left. It's just like in John chapter 6, verse 66, where it says that many no longer followed Jesus after that day. And that was after he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they could not understand that saying, and that saying through them. They didn't stick around to ask him to explain it. They were offended by it and decided we're not following him anymore. I'm going to tell you something. The loaves and fishes ain't worth this. That's what they thought. And so they left. But then Jesus turns to Peter and the other disciples. He says, will you go also? And Peter speaks up and said, where can we go? For thou alone hast the words of life. We can't go anywhere else. What was it? There was something in Peter that was speaking back to the voice he heard say, will you go also? Friends, Jesus will sometimes bring you down to a place just to see what you're going to do. Not that he don't know what you're going to do, but you sometimes need to find out what you're going to do. Sometimes you need to come down to a place where you really find out what you believe. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. In the midst of a divine healing, Brother Bram says, every man and woman that's born in the Spirit of God, sure, you can backslide, brother. But if you're a child of God, you can't stand them things of the world no more because your digestive things has changed. Peter said, Lord, where can we go? He said, do you want to go also? When the rest of them turned around and said, where can we go? What could we do? You're the only one that has eternal life. Then where can we go? Here he is standing out here in his power, anointed with the Holy Ghost, an apostle and prophet now. Hallelujah. Oh, how I see it. How be it some of them believe because they had it. They were ordained to everlasting life. And when this preacher began to preach, the net was cast out. And those that were ordained stayed in the boat. They weren't just caught. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Peter cast his net out there. There might be some fish in there. When he throwed his net out there and began to pull in and said, the God of our fathers who went with Abraham from Ur unto Chaldea hath sent his son, the Lord Jesus, who the heavens must receive unto the restoration of all things, said how you took the Prince of Peace with cruel hands and his murdered and crucified him. By faith in his name, this man was healed. That's why, Brother Branson, that's why I believe in the supernatural. And he said he throwed his net out there and pulled it in. And when he did, howbeit some of them in there was fish, and the rest the turtles run off and the snakes and so forth. They bounced back, but there was some fish in there. Howbeit many believed the word. They were ordained to everlasting life. Believed. And the Bible says the number of them that believed were 5,000. Now, there might have been 1 million people out there, and the net was cast. And out of the 1 million that was out there, 5,000 of them were fish, were ordained to life, and believed. He said, notice, God doesn't care what kind of a looking pool it is. He throws his net right into it. He don't care what kind of a pool you were swimming around in. It could have been a pool of alcohol. It could have been a pool of drugs. It could have been a pool of whatever. It could have been a pool of adultery or corruption or whatever else. God don't care what the pool is. He throws his net out there, and if you're ordained to life, you're going to get caught. You're going to come in, and when you come in, you're going to stay. Why? Because what you hear, you realize I'm a part of that. That's talking to me. Hallelujah. He says here, and being led by the Holy Spirit, he says, if you are ordained to eternal life, then you will see it and believe. You will. If you aren't, then it's like pouring water off a duck's back. It won't do any good at all. No matter how much you try to explain it, those whom God's not chosen, they're not going to see it. But those whom he chose before the foundation of the world, if you're chosen God, you were chosen not here, you were chosen before the world began. And the Bible says, in the beast, in the book of Revelations, deceived all those whose names were not written on the Lamb's book of life. Right. You realize, friends, look, I'm not just making this stuff up out of my head. It's in the Bible. There's going to be a mark of the beast. And all those whose name, the Bible says this now in the book of Revelations. All those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world will be deceived by the beast and will take his mark. The foundation of the world. And Jesus come to die for those who God ordained to eternal life. And those who know and God has ordained will come to him, and the others will not. So when the last fish is caught out of the pond, then the seining is over. He's talking about the seining, talking about casting out the net and bringing it in. It's called seining. You know all that. And he said, so we're trying to seine it now.
Yes.
We're casting out the net and pulling it in. Casting out the net and pulling it in.
Looking for that last.
We're looking for the last fish in the pond. And when the last one comes in, we'll be gone. Hallelujah. 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 You might, some of y'all that have been with me all these years, wondering why is he going back over and preach some of these things he's preached years in the past, and why is it? Because God lead me. But friends, it's because we've got some 11th hour workers. All that God has ordained, he places you and positions you, and nobody else can take your place. Nobody else can do what God has ordained for you to be that one to do. You said, well, what all is it God's got for me to do? Well, listen to this, friends. John the Baptist, his ministry lasted 6 months. 6 months. He come on the scene and started preaching. 6 months later, he introduced Jesus Christ. his ministry was over. And after that was when he went up and Solomon come to Herod and asked for his head on a platter. And that was it. 6 months. God might have had you here to reach one fish out of that pond.
That's right.
Who knows? What all purpose? But every one of you's got a, God had a purpose, something he wanted you to do. Not just something he wanted me to do or Brother Phil to do or something like that. No, he's got something he wanted each one of you to do. And what he had for you to do, I couldn't do it. It would not have been the same. God made you who he made you to be like you were. So David, you would walk out there one day and come across Brother Anthony here and say the things you said to him, and nobody else could have said them things because nobody else is you.
That's right.
I'm not saying that to lift up Brother David. I'm saying that to give you an example. And Brother Anthony then knew, wait a minute, God had to send that man my way. Hallelujah. One day, some glorious day, Jesus is going to come. And our sorrows will be over. And we'll be taken away. And we shall see him. And we'll have a body like his glorious body. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, Lord, that you brought to us, Lord. And how, God, you open these things up and just make them so simple, dear God. Lord, it wasn't of my doing, Lord. I can only give you the time, Lord, and it has to be you to bring these things, Lord. I don't know where to look. Sometimes I don't even know what in the world to preach, Lord, but I just wait on a little inkling of a inspiration. And then, Lord, I just sit down at my computer and just go from there. And you just bring things to my remembrance of the things I've read and studied and heard. And Lord, and sometimes, Lord, it may just be a word or two, and I'll look it up. And then from that begin to glean out things, Lord. And Lord, then going to the scriptures and bringing these things up and how they just match so in line, dear God. And it's not because of me being real smart or being real capable. It's because of you, Lord. It was all you, Lord. And we're thankful for that this morning. I pray for your people this morning, dear God. You knowing, Lord, their needs and what they face this week, Lord, you knew before the foundation of the world what they would be facing this week. You knew what they would face last week. You know what they'll face the week after this. You know what they'll face the week after next. Lord, I pray, God, be with them, Lord, as you prayed, dear Jesus. And I pray not that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil thereof. Lord, we ask your blessings on the people now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Amen.